I have a question for you. Why are you here? What brought you here to a church of all places when there are so many other things you could be doing on Sunday morning? You know, there's a joke about that. A person wakes up one morning, pulls the covers back over his or her head, and I don't want to go to church today. And this person's spouse says, "You have to go. You're the minister." I didn't feel that way today. And I pretty much never feel that way because of you. But I hope you'll hold that question close today. What brought me here? What brings me here? My friend Nathan Dietering, minister of the UU Church in Sherburn, a little bit to the west of here, says that one Sunday when he had the day off, he made a quick run to the grocery store to pick up some milk. And he was surprised it was so crowded there. He thought, so this is where everybody is on Sunday morning. Nathan says he was half tempted to find a box and stand up there in the grocery store so he could preach to those people as they pushed their carts up and down the aisles, because he says he sensed that they needed an encouraging word too, a reminder of who they were and what really mattered. I myself have never felt that calling to preach in the grocery store or in the public square. I like preaching here in church, though I will be offering a prayer later today at the Interfaith Blessing for Immigrants, and I'm glad to be able to do that. And like my friend Nathan, I do wonder about folks who have no faith community to be part of. I wonder how they get through the week without what we try to offer each Sunday: the light of truth, the warmth of community, the fire of commitment, as we say when we extinguish our chalice. Of course, there are other ways to be in touch with who you are and to sense that you are part of something larger than yourself. 12-step groups certainly offer this, and some families might, I suppose. And I know some people have found ways to create community on a sports team or in a yoga class or in a book group. But there's something about a faith community that's different. We are this place, this community, where it's understood that there is a place here for you just as you are, where you don't apply to be a member, where you don't have to show any kind of credentials to belong here. You just show up and join in. That's all you have to do. Talking about the church community that helped save her life, Anne Lamott says this: "Our funky little church is filled with people who are working for peace and justice, who are out there on the streets and inside praying, and they are at home writing letters, and they are at the shelters with giant platters of food. When I was at the end of my rope, the people at St. Andrew tied a knot in it for me and helped me to hold on. The church became my home in the old meaning of home, that it's where, when you show up, they have to let you in. They let me in. They even said, 'You come back now.' It's time to change the message on our sign out front. And if any of you have good ideas, please let me know. But I don't know if putting up this message, 'We have to let you in,' would be the most appealing thing to people going by on the street. But isn't that what makes a church different than from some other groups? We let you in because that's what we do. And any church that doesn't, that even gives the smallest whiff of a sense of, oh, you're not our kind of people, well, then it's not being a church at all. It's really acting like a social club. And I hope we also say to new folks, you come back now. Because I hope we believe that there is good here that we want to share broadly and generously. And this is one of the things I love about you and about being your minister, how down to earth you are, how good-hearted and unpretentious. I'm glad that you are here, and I'm glad that I am here. And so I wonder, do you remember what brought you here? I have to suppose that you were seeking something. Maybe, like Anne Lamott, you were also at the end of your rope. Or maybe you just felt there was something, you couldn't even name it, that was missing. I have to sense that you were looking for something when you came here for the first time. My friend Kim Crawford Harvey, minister at the Arlington Street Church in downtown Boston, says, I don't know anyone who woke up one day and said, I think I'll go to church because life's a party and it's just one more way to keep the party going. No, if that's what you're looking for, there are better places, I am sure. No, she says, we come because when the going gets rough, we're looking for some relief, some encouragement that we can do it. Some company and a little enlightenment would be nice too. I would say that for myself, though for some years it was probably mostly habit that kept me going to church, over time it turned into a longing, the desire for something more, a longing to touch more deeply both the horizontal and the vertical dimensions of life, to be more connected with others in community, that's the horizontal, and to touch what is higher and deeper, that's the vertical, than I was finding in my daily life. The Irish priest and poet John O'Donohue wrote a book of blessings. And one of them is a blessing for longing. Longing may not be the first thing you think of to bless or be grateful for. But I hope you will hear his blessing as an affirmation of what is stirring deep in your soul. Blessed be the longing that brought you here and quickens your soul with wonder. May you have the courage to listen to the voice of desire that disturbs you when you have settled for something safe. May you have the wisdom to enter generously into your own unease, to discover the new direction your longing wants you to take. May the forms of your belonging in love, creativity, and friendship be equal to the grandeur and the call of your soul. May the one you long for you. May your dreams gradually reveal the destination of your desire. May a secret providence guide your thought and nurture your feeling. May your mind inhabit your life with the sureness with which your body inhabits the world. May your heart never be haunted by ghost structures of old damage. May you come to accept your longing as divine urgency. May you know the urgency with which God longs for you. John O'Donohue's prayer reminds us that we are here to embrace and be grateful for these longings and yearnings that tug at us and make us restless and uncomfortable. Blessed be these longings that brought us here, for they are the fuel that will drive us to be more whole, to love and to help one another, to seek justice and to make ours a better world. You might sometimes see your longings as uncomfortable or embarrassing, as something you would be inclined, if you finally get around to dealing with them, to deal with them in order to make them go away. But if you do that, you'll miss the opportunity to experience your longings as gift and blessing. I hope this is a place where you can name and claim your longings. You might say, I long to explore my own theology the way our coming-of-age youth do. Or, I long for a world where hungry people are fed. Or, I long to be part of a community where I am seen and accepted, where all kinds of difference are welcomed and celebrated. I long for us to be a church where we more freely share our hopes and dreams and longings. Isn't this why we are here? And is there a better place? We need a community. Elaine Prevalet writes, some group of friends who are willing to risk grounding their lives and values that may make them marginal to the wider culture, who are willing to be responsible with and for and to each other, who are not afraid to ask hard questions. We need them to help us recognize that our own individual gift, who I am, is for something, has a unique role to play, a contribution to make. We need them to help us name the gift and find its place within a frame. We need them to keep us accountable and honest and steady in a culture geared toward constant change. The pull of individualism is so strong that we cannot afford to go it alone. We have to find or create communities, containers, if we are to be faithful to our call. I'm ever grateful for you all in this community and for the ways you do this for one another, how you support and encourage and challenge each other. And I sense that we are only just getting started. You know that expression, be careful what you wish for because you might get it? I would say, pay attention to what you long for and what you desire, because that comes from a deep and holy place. And if you do this, if you get in touch with your longings, they will lead you to deep and holy places, even places you did not plan to go. So please don't keep your longings secret. Don't keep them just to yourself. Take the risk of sharing them, because who knows what might happen, how your longing might coalesce with somebody else's passion in order to build something that you couldn't even dream of all by yourself. Things are good here these days in this church. There is a spirit moving among us. Can you feel it? A growing sense of energy and possibility, of connection and gratitude. We are here to build the land that we dream of, to do our part with that good work. That land that prophets have always dreamed of, where justice shall roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Come build a land where the mantles of praises resound from spirits once faint and once weak, where like oaks of righteousness stand her people. Oh, come build the land, my people, we seek. That's why we are here, to build that land that we dream of, that we long for, that land that we seek. We do it step by step. We do it one day at a time. We do it together. We do it together. Amen.